today on Real Radio.
But when we've ever yielded to God and we had scripture verse to point to it, are you listening? Not one of us can say it was a waste of time, that it flopped, or it was foiled. Not one.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Lessons that demonstrate how Scripture answers questions about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Now, one of the greatest privileges we have as believers is the fact that we can communicate with our Creator, God Himself. Scripture has a whole lot to say about prayer. In fact, did you know that an entire book of the Bible is comprised of communication to and about our Maker? That just might give you a good idea of how important it is to pray. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study that answers the question, why should I pray?
Often churches get successful. Oh, look, we've got a big building. We've got a lot of people. We've got a lot of money. We've got a lot of missionaries. Are you just fill in the blank? Be careful. You're now, right then, beginning to lose your power. Boast not in thyself. Seekest thou great things, says the scripture, seek them not. Let God be glorified, and He will always be glorified if we're praying and seeking Him. But whenever the early church was in need, they prayed. A great example of this, of the early church in need, and a great example of its invisible power of prayer, is Acts chapter 12. Turn there if you would, I'll read it. Acts chapter 12. People, this is both powerful. Power, yeah. The power is going to be unleashed. But it's a problem too. Kind of like that bomb. The E-bomb. Well, it's an overwhelming power. It's just proven to be unpredictable when we test it. Boy, I wonder what they mean by that. Okay, press the button. Let's test it. Forget you. You press the button. I thank God prayer's not like that. If anything, prayer can be such a specific tactical weapon that can go right into the camp of the enemy, and we can say, Lord, my child's been sick. You know that, God. Before you ever created the heavens and the earth, you knew that my child would be battling this illness. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, first of all, if this illness and sickness is from you, glorify your name in it, because I don't understand it. But if it's not from you, then, oh God, and listen, I'm letting you into my prayer life. Oh God, if it is not from you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will so take the enemy and you will bring this, what he has planned, against his own head. That you will take the teeth out of the lion who's going about roaring and seeking whom he may devour. And that you'll take his claws and rip them out of his paws, that he would have no power over my child. Lord, if it's from you, grant us the grace. And if it's from the enemy, slay him in Jesus' name. I tell you, we're at war. And some of you wives, you need to fight for your husbands, not with your words. It's not going to work. I've been telling him every day for a month. You can tell him every day for the rest of his life. It won't work. I've been putting tracks in his lunch. That's not going to work. Get on your knees. If you have a godly friend who can keep their lips quiet and not gossip, get her with you and pray. Husband, you got a whacked out wife, loony, weird now. I don't want you anymore. I don't want these kids. I want the world. I want to, you know, I've been watching reality TV. And that's what I want. That's why America's watching the reality TV. Their life is boring. That, you know what? If anybody had any guts in the media world, they would get real Christians and put them on reality TV. You want reality TV? Okay, here it is. Reality TV. What are we going to be doing tonight? Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills is going to go down with Pastor Tarr. We're going to go down to Hollywood and Vine, and we're going to share with the hookers and prostitutes, the drug addicts, and the bums. You want reality TV? Pray with somebody who smells so bad you can't even get near them. And they said, I'm sick of being drunk and I'm sick of hiring hookers. I don't want to live like this anymore. Join up with our ministry on Hollywood and Vine in Normandy. You want reality TV? It's not this stupid stuff you're watching. Nobody on TV would watch. Nobody in this church would watch that stuff. I know you would not. But there are people who are watching that stuff. And they're like, whoa, look. What's he eating? What is that? I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old. But it seems a little strange for me for somebody to eat a pig uterus. I mean, why would you eat a pig uterus? For $50,000. Wow. You'd do that for $50,000? Would you go to a prayer meeting for a pig uterus? I'll go to a prayer meeting for a... Oh, no, you mentioned money and it's, oh, where do I sign up? Wow. Reality TV, forget that. Christianity should be absolutely so radical and so powerful. And I don't know about you, but if you're not living an extreme life, then what are you doing? Yeah, you're watching reality TV because your life's boring. Okay, watch this. Reality, Acts chapter 12. I told you, Acts chapter 12 about a half hour ago. Acts chapter 12. Now at that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, and then they killed James. That's the apostle James, the brother of John, with the sword, cut his head off. And because Herod saw that it pleased all the Jews, that's the religious Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when they had apprehended him, they put Peter in prison and delivered him to the four squads of the soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. And Peter was therefore kept in prison. But what does it say, class? Constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. That's us today. And when Herod was about to bring him out, I love that. All right, go get him. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping in the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter. Get this, Peter's so sleeping on the eve of his execution. This is Peter panic. This is Peter put your foot in your mouth before you talk kind of Peter. This is Peter who, not knowing what to say, said something. This is Peter, always getting interrupted by the Holy Spirit. This is Peter when it's told, you're going to die tomorrow. No. All right. He goes to sleep, and the angel has to strike him. Look, it says, and the angel struck Peter on the side and raised him up. Get up. Hey, wake up. Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. Did you hear that? He's dreaming. This is a dream. He didn't know this was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led out into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. You know what that means? That's so cool. The angel's walking with Peter, and the gate just opens up all by itself. The gate opened up of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street. Listen to the detail. Went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, that is, he realized this was not a dream. He says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectations of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, the author of Mark's gospel, where many were gathered together. What were they doing, everybody? Praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, I bet she's bummed that her name is in there, because watch what happens. A girl by the name of Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. Isn't that cute? Let me in. Psst. Let me in. She goes to the door. Who is it? It's Peter. It is Peter. And she runs. She runs away from the gate. And so she tells them, she announces to them, Peter is standing before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're nuts. You're beside yourself. That means you're crazy. Girl, you're crazy. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said to her, it must be his angel. The angel that's been sent to watch over him. Now Peter continued knocking. Just leave it right there for a minute. There were a lot of people praying. And they were continuing at prayer. That's power. How do we know? Because the angel comes from heaven and gets him out. And he's free. So Peter's knocking at the door. Somebody in the prayer meeting, can you imagine? Lord, we just ask you right now, God, we're begging of you, please, please hear our prayer. Hey, Rhoda, can you go see who's at the door? Lord, we just answer, please. Hey, you guys, it's Peter. Will you just sit down? Be quiet, you weirdo lady. Sit down. God, deliver Peter. Just set him free. It's him. Lady, you're beside yourself. Must be his angel. It's anybody but him. We're praying for him. Isn't that funny? Oh, God, please do this in my life. He probably won't do it at all. And then God does it. I can't be real. Isn't that funny? The very thing they're asking for, God does, and they don't believe it. Don't tell me it was their faith that set him free. And so they opened the door to him. And what does it say? They were what? Astonished. E-bomb. Or maybe we should call this prayer bomb. P-bomb. How'd that happen? Peter, what are you doing here? An angel woke me up. He even had to slap me to wake me up. I got up. He led me out. The gate was so cool, you guys. As we were walking, the big gate opened up all by itself. You should have been there. It was great. He even told me to put my shoes on. It was very, very amazing. Can you imagine? They were like, wow. God answers prayer? What's wrong with us? Yes, God answers prayer. We need to pray, people. This church needs to pray more and more and more. We need to gather for prayer. I wrote some things down. There's a lot of older men who tell me, I don't sleep much at night, so I pray. Okay? All right, then you know what we need to do? This is not a joke. Write me, email me, call the church. But listen, if that's your case, if that's the thing, because maybe you're elderly, because I understand that it's hard to sleep. As older you get, it's hard to sleep at night. If that's true, at my life, I'll be up forever then pretty soon. I'm telling you, if that's the case, then rather than toss and turn all night, let's create an all-night prayer watch. Men, we can do it in shifts. Take 2 hours. We can have enough men in this church. People call in on a hotline. You know what? My child's throwing up right now. It's 2 a.m. They can't stop it. We're taking them to the hospital. We don't know. Will you pray? We'll pray right now. Let's do it. You're already up all night. Let's do it. So, well, you know, I don't have that problem. Well, you know what? How about young men? You're strong. How about picking 2 hours? Well, I don't get off work till midnight. Great. Let's do it from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. You get off at midnight, swing by, pray for 2 hours. Let's get two or more gathered together in a room with a hotline. When people are in trouble, they can pray. And we'll have a prayer list, and men can pray. They can pray over that list. Let's do it. Men of prayer. Mop. Men of prayer. What about women? Hey, ladies, let's pray. Women of prayer. Let's do it. Teens. They're up all night anyway. They go to bed at 2. They wake up at 6. Teens. Tap. Teens at prayer. Why not? No, I said at. Gotcha. Teens at prayer or teens of prayer. That would be top. Top or tap? Tap or top? It works either way because teens are praying. Why not? If we decide to pray, our world will change. We can ask the God of heaven to touch the heart of the king. You want to change something? Pray. Oh, no, we're going to pick it. Well, go ahead and pick it. The only thing you're going to do is lose weight. Walking back and forth, that's a good thing, but you're not going to achieve anything. Pray. Church, we need to pray, but herein lies the problem. Regarding prayer, we so often misunderstand it because we know that we're to pray, and yet when God answers, we either don't believe that he's answering, because listen, we either do not believe he's answering, or he doesn't care or listen. In our studies ahead, we are going to see that he cares and he's listening. You might come back and say, then why hasn't he answered my prayer? I want to come back to you and say, how do you know if you're praying correctly? Well, because you see, even in prayer, you and I have our agenda. We have our spin. He's got a plan. Well, what is it? I don't know. That's unsatisfactory. I want to know. And that's our problem. Peter's at the door. That's impossible. You see? We begin to pray. He begins to move. We don't like the way he's moving in our prayers. So we, I think, often stop it. Lord, now just hold off right there. I wish you would have cleared that with me before you proceeded on that one. We have a lack of knowledge about prayer, often because we have a lack of need. We think we can handle it on our own. We have a lack of patience when we pray. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Did you hear that? You say, that can't be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And that's both the power and the problem, isn't it? Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. And you say, wow, I don't know if I can believe that. You know why we have that doubt in our mind? You want to know why? It's a true doubt. It's a legitimate doubt. Because we've asked for things before and we didn't get it. And now, because of our selfishness or our perceptions or our view of the way prayer ought to go, are you with me, everybody? The answer didn't come about the way that we wanted, so thus we don't believe that verse. And Jesus says, church, pray. And when you pray, pray believing, and it will be done. He's assuming that we are his followers. Herein is the power. And herein lies the problem. Jesus is assuming that we're Christians, that we will follow him. See, we go to prayer and we say, okay, here we go. Are you ready, Jesus? I'm ready. All right. Lord, bless this thing that I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jesus goes, wait a minute, I'm not into that thing. Oh, no, come on, let's go. And we're out there. Come on, Jesus. It's going to be great. And he's going, I can't go that way. He's not in it. And then we crash and fall off the road, and we're wondering, Lord, what did you do to me? We made a left turn at 90 miles an hour back there, and he fell out. That's what happened. He was not in it. Jesus, when he says this, assumes that the disciple, the Christian, is following him, not he following us. And if we believe this, then I can turn to Mark 11, 24 and say, you know what, that's true. When I yield my will to what he wants and let it go, I resolve all to God. It's done. God, in Jesus' name, you might say, if there's any bit of my agenda left, take it away. And you'll hear him whisper, you know what, that's great. Now that I'm up front and I got the wheel, you may ask what you will and it shall be done. Why? Because he's got the wheel. Young people, what are you going to do with your future? I tell you, step number one, give God the wheel. It's much easier that way. John 15:7. You're going to be hearing a lot about this verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done unto you. There you go. Now you're getting a little bit more deeper understanding. If my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. Class, prerequisite, the word abiding in you. Bible study, praying the Bible. When you pray Bible unto the Lord will act. Why? Because the Bible is God's revealed will. When the scripture says, pray for our presidents and kings and leaders, in 1 Timothy, what does it mean that we shall do? We shall pray for our kings, presidents, and leaders. And he will answer. But we must believe him. Point number one. It's okay. We'll be out of here on time, really. We'll just tell you that next week, point number one is that why should I pray? Is because prayer introduces us to God. We're going to study that next time together. Prayer introduces us to God. Well, why? How? When? Where does this happen? It's my opinion. And it's my strong belief that as we prepare for what God has in store for us as a church, if we take up this issue of prayer seriously in our lives, everything's going to change. Everything. That's good news. You can close your Bibles. We're done. Listen, change is a good thing. So I don't like change. You know why you don't like change? Because often it's change is brought about because of your life or my life, our decision making. When God implements a change, it's a great thing. Every one of us in this room can agree. When we were in the lead, when we were in control, when we did not pray, the end was futile. We were tired, exhausted. We had no more imagination left. Our creativity was gone. Money's gone. People are gone. But when we've ever yielded to God and did exactly what he told us to do, and we had scripture verse to point to it, are you listening? Not one of us can say it was a waste of time, that it flopped or it was foiled. Not one. We wait on him. God bless us. We pray and we seek his face and he'll answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Why Should I Pray? It's part of Pastor Jack's series simply called, Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget to visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to keep up with everything that's happening right here at Real Radio. Now, one thing you can do is subscribe to our Words to the Wise devotional. We really think you're going to like this. Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get via email. Every week, more Real Radio listeners subscribe to Words to the Wise. They're also writing in and telling us how much they appreciate getting this devotional. For instance, Dear Pastor Jack, we do feel blessed with the Words to the Wise devotionals sent through the email and look forward to them. We also benefit from your daily messages from Real Radio, which we get on the oneplace.com site. Quite valuable and insightful. It brings us closer to God's Word and His purpose for our lives. Thank you very much, and God bless you. And thank you for subscribing to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right that says Devotional. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.